Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. My name is Davis Maddock. You can find me on Twitter at Davis Maddock. This Gilcast is on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast and simulcast on the Roto Grinders Fantasy Football Podcast feed as well. I am joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling, a gang of fish. Unfortunately, though, Sammy, we all won this week. I don't have very much to complain about. I have a few complaints. And I would definitely like to call out some of the people that played me for being so bad at DFS. But other than that, I don't know how much there is that we're going to have to whine about. No dunks, really. No dunks.
Oh, no. No dunks. And I had dunks just all teed up. Like, I was going to go 1992 Sean Kemp on you guys after the morning games when Fournette was going to smash, and it just didn't happen. So the listeners don't get that. They don't get the Nate faded Ian Thomas because he swapped in Ian Thomas at the last minute. That was almost going to be just so.
Yeah, I think he unmuted our group chat this morning just to announce that he was not in fact fading Ian Thomas.
Yeah, because I wanted to fade CMC, and then like it was like 5 minutes before lock, and I'm like, oh crap, I'm back on the CMC Ian Thomas team, and
yeah. So the CMC fade looked pretty good for 2.5 quarters, and then he just did what he does. I think, what did he get, 10? He got 10 receptions? No, 11 receptions. He has never had, true story, never had less than 11 receptions against the Atlanta Falcons in his career.
Yeah, I mean, he just – that's part of what CMC does, is he just – his usage is so nuts that like he's never out of it. One play, he's easily back into it, and then when he doesn't need that one play, he just gets there through all these other avenues.
Yeah, he either gets the rushing bonus because they're ahead, or he catches 10 balls because they're behind. There's just no other outcome for CMC.
If I can dunk on you though, Nate, if you'd allow it. Robert Woods now leads Cooper Kupp on the year in Whopper in weighted opportunity ranking. He now has more of that than Cooper Kupp. After Cooper Kupp, fully healthy, just played 32% of the snaps for the Los Angeles Rams football team.
And that's basically like the same amount of snaps that Michael Thomas plays, right, Nate?
Roughly, they play about the same.
Pretty equal?
Roughly. Very similar. Roughly. It's just the West Coast version.
I feel like Nate should have to buy you a Bob Woods jersey at the
with Whopper on the back. So like that stupid number 17 that he wears, but with just WOPR on the back.
Nate, after you printed this week, I think you can afford it, bro.
You can afford it.
Get that thing in the mail, dude. Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, after last week, the Robert Woods dunking didn't feel good, but this week, I mean, I'll take it.
So
I just take so much pleasure in seeing Dink dunk on you.
It is because when Dink dunks on someone, no one can really ever come back at Dink. It's not like you can be like, oh, well, blah, blah. It's like a Dink dunk is just, it is what it is because he's Drew Dinkmeyer. You just got to take it.
But yeah. The thing is, it's like he's been sitting on those, and it's just like, okay, I'll let you. Like, I don't even.
Oh, he listens to this podcast, dude, and he does not forget.
Yeah,
no, Dink's, and that's the thing. Dink's like a made man. Like, he's like part of the mafia where, like, those you can't mess with him.
Those have been sitting in those drafts waiting since like week 7.
Dude, every time Robert Woods like catches a pass, we like mention you in our Slack because like we all knew the math would get there eventually. It's just math takes its time.
Well, hopefully you guys didn't lose too much money before week 14 where on Robert
Sir,
Woods.
Sir, I played Robert Woods in a game where he did not record a reception.
That rushing floor though. That rushing floor.
The gadget floor, Nate, and that's what you forget. That's what you forget. I have a feeling gadget floor is going to come to play when we talk about Sammy's wide receivers here in a little bit. Unusual situation for us.
We still need to dunk on Sammy. Sammy faded out.
We will in a moment.
I printed today. This is how can you dunk?
Oh, we're still going to because you're an idiot fish.
Come with it. I'm gonna Matumbo you scrubs.
So, Nate, I believe in the entire time we've been doing this, like 4 or 5 years or whatever, I don't know if you and I have ever had the same team. Sammy and I have had the same team. I can't recall you and I ever having the same team.
Yeah, I don't think we ever have. And it was funny because I thought you were off of Carr. Yeah, I mean, it was just...
I was looking to get off of Derek Carr from the moment I found this team, like on Wednesday, and it's just nothing you can do. It was just the right team.
I'll say this. If it wasn't for the Fuller news, we wouldn't have had the same team. The Fuller, I wasn't.
Oh, well, yeah, I would not have played. I would not have played Stills if Fuller was active. No, I had this team with, I had Demaryius Thomas and Christian Kirk.
Yeah, I had a Carr team with Kirk, Hopkins, and Thomas queued up with Devonta over CMC up until this morning when the Fuller news came out.
All right, Sammy, why did you play Derek Carr? As someone who approaches cash games from an artistic perspective, tell me how you talked yourself in at Derek Carr.
If you want me to be honest, you damn fish talked me into it. So this morning I had my team, except I had Breeze. Breeze was my cash game QB. Like,
oh, dude, everyone who didn't play Breeze, everyone who didn't play Breeze is literally the most like we won, we printed whatever. We are stupid. Drew Breeze at home, 5,900. It should have began and ended there.
Yeah, but here's the thing: I'm the most mentally weak. I'm the most mentally weak because
you had the salary.
Yeah, I would not have swapped if
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, because what I had Boyd and Breeze, and then I shifted to Carr and Edelman, and that would have just – I mean, you know, I would have scored.
It didn't matter, but it matters because we all made a big process error in the sense of, like, just skipping – because I didn't even consider him. I was either going to be playing Watson or Carr. In cash. I didn't look at any other team, really.
I was, like, on Breeze all week because that's just the team I had. I had high-priced wide receiver, low-priced wide receiver, and then I felt very comfortable with Boyd because Boyd's been stacking since basically every game with Andy Dalton. And
Boyd was not a good cash play. He was bad.
What do you mean?
Dude, he would not have been good. He did not project that well with John Ross back.
Bro, he just gets like that was actually a little bit of worry for me is would his targets be as clean, and they actually weren't. He only got 6 targets. So but yeah, I was fine playing him. But yeah. I liked Breeze.
Breeze was fine. It wasn't like I wasn't on Breeze in the earlier in the week. I was either gonna be paying down for a Carr or like up for a Jameis slash like or even going higher. There was like Breeze just fell in a weird range that I think if you played Tannehill or like Murray over Breeze, that would have
been anyone, awesome. Anyone. Okay, seriously,
you lucked out.
Like for real. If you're listening to this and you played Tannehill over Drew Breeze, Come on, man. Send me an invite next week, I guess.
You know, you do such good marketing, Davis. You know, the only listener that's like called me out and offered me an invite sent me a $2 head-to-head.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, if you send me I can't accept the $2 because I have the maximum amount entered in those games by Sunday when people start sending them out. So the people have just learned to send, like, if you send me a $5, I can accept that, a $10, a $20 or whatever. But yeah, I just can't accept the $2 ones. So people stop sending those.
Yeah. Well, I got it.
And did you win? Did you win your $2 head to head?
Yeah, of course I did.
Smash.
But if it was $1,000, it would have been great. You know, maybe next week we can double down and do.
I play this other fish. This guy, I don't even actually know his name. He just trolls me on Twitter. But this guy played probably the worst lineup I've ever seen that someone has sent me. Like in terms of like what it looked like pre-lock, he played Ryan Griffin for like $4,500 or whatever, and then did not play Michael Thomas or DeAndre Hopkins, either one of them, and chose to pay $6,900 for Devontae.
Okay, honestly, that was – here's the mistake people did make. Like, I don't think the week's made or lost at quarterback. I think there were 75% of people who faded Michael Thomas this week and insane. Played – and must have played Devontae or something. Like, that I don't know what people did at wide receiver. When we flopped and I looked at ownership percentages on Thomas and Hopkins, I was floored. I don't know what – did people just get off of him because of the matchup? What was it?
The reason why people did not play Michael Thomas was because they were playing the 49ers, and the same thing for Hopkins as well because I believe – the Chris Harris is the name of the corner, Sammy, for
that's
the Broncos.
Right. That's right. I'm very proud of you, David.
I'm the sharpest. So people think that guy is like the shutdown corner of like the, I don't know. People just think that guy's really good, and he might be. I don't know. Did not matter today, though.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't seem that good when Hopkins was dancing around in the end.
I'll be honest. It's very easy to sound cocky about this stuff, but like I will definitely play wide receivers in spots against these elite cornerbacks in the future and probably get burned by it.
Yeah, I mean we clown, but like legit two seasons ago we were pouring over like cornerback wide receiver matchups and like
the automatic absolutes definitely did used to feature that stuff.
you got the PFF chart and you're like, oh snap, like this guy spends 68% of his time in the slot and Chris Harris also plays 65% in the slot.
Right.
I've been fading matchups since 2015.
Yeah, Nate. Well, it's more of a science, Nate. You're very
Nate. It's really more of a science in terms of building lineups. But, Overzet had a very good tweet last week when Cardi had that smash. He was like, I think it was Cardi is fourth in the spy. It's really more of a science than an art.
Does Pete have bad tweets? I haven't seen a lot of them.
No, he just –
he
it's
must
like,
delete them or something because every tweet is just fire.
He is just the best. Okay,
in this $5 double up, the giant one, I mean, Hopkins was 15%.
Nate, this is not a peasant show. We refer to the massive $25 double up on this podcast.
That's right. Come on, bro.
Yeah, but most of my head-to-heads are not 25 and above. So, like, the $5 is much more reflective of my actual cash game. Like,
oh, you mean people don't send you 109s and then play Sam Darnold against you? There's just nothing gives me joy than seeing people play bad lineups against me and then them getting mad on Twitter when they lose. It's just, it gives me so much joy.
Do you still play that fish who sends you one case?
No, he bailed. He lost, and then
Davis felted him, and just like
I don't think I felted him, but
you 100% did. Dude, check his profile and see if he's played any DFS in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that makes me feel kind of bad, dude. I'm not trying to be mean to people, but I do like clowning on fish. Okay, so let's just try and do some real analysis. People are so annoyed right now. We're like 20 minutes into this show. All we've done is congratulate ourselves on like winning 800 combined dollars.
I want a lot more than that, my friend.
It was a good day, but I'm not trying to, I don't want to be that annoying. So Derek Carr, I think he was just a good play. But the reason why I was at least able to, in a mentally weak way, comfort myself into playing him in cash.
Get your hand in the dirt, Davis. let's hear it. Banged up running back. Let's hear.
No, just that if Jacobs wasn't going to play, I think that they would be slightly more pass heavy.
That wasn't.
That's not even hand in the dirt, Nate. That's math.
That wasn't,
dude,
as old football guy as I was hoping you were going to go with that.
I mean, it's just do you want me to get my hand in the dirt? The hand in the dirt take would be, even if Jacobs plays, they got a banged up running back. They're not trying to have him take hits on his shoulder near the goal line, so they'd be more likely to throw near the goal line. That would be the hand in the dirt take. Yeah.
That was what I was looking for.
But for the math perspective was just it slid a little bit more pass heavy for them.
Yeah, and Carr is just way too underpriced for that. At 5K compared to some of these other quarterbacks that he was priced at, when you looked at this, game, he was a value. He was a good value.
Whatever. I feel bad about playing Carr. Like, Carr's a scrub. He has no.
Carr's a scrub, dude. But quarterbacks are like, as long as you don't get the Matt Ryan 4-pointer, you don't lose quarterback by that much.
No,
quarterback is fungible.
Carr is because the rest of your lineup works.
Yeah, quarterback is a completely.
Well, yeah, but I'm trying to talk myself into every play I make, though.
I am too, and I hated myself for playing Derek Carr, and I still do. So, you know,
so
I'm lucky it worked out.
Running backs, Nate and I played Christian McCaffrey, Bilal Powell, Alvin Kamara. I didn't really think twice about Bilal Powell. I was just like, whatever. He's going to be 60% owned. There was like a report this morning that he was going to be splitting work with Josh Adams and Ty Montgomery. Josh Adams did not receive a touch in this game. Montgomery had 4 carries, I think, and 3 receptions. 2 of those receptions came on the last drive. The Jets were horrible in the second half. They like barely moved the ball in the second half until that very final drive.
Horrible the entire season. I mean, it's just like Bilal had 19 rushes and 3 targets for 3.5.
I believe that this was the most rushing yards that any Jets running back has had this season.
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
Bilal Powell
is actually better than Le'Veon Bell. That's not like a hot take.
Yeah, and I think
is somewhere with his pants off after that, Sammy.
I mean, it's just a fact. Like,
I think that Powell is going to be the running back for the rest of the season. I think that they're just done with Bell. I think he's out.
You just think he has the plague?
No, I just think he doesn't. Like, the Manish Mehta reported that he wants to be traded, and the team wants to trade him at the end of the year. It's just like a situation where it's not working out. Why would Le'Veon Bell go play for a team for 2 games when he doesn't care?
How did fading the Pittsburgh thing work for Bell and Brown? I mean, literally 2 years ago they were on top of the world, and now they're
and now Duck Hodges is gonna be in the 6th seed in the AFC. Pretty wild.
From their couches.
It's gonna be great. If we win if the Steelers win the Super Bowl, we're gonna have to do like a special go cast for me.
So
I'll be there for you, Sammy.
Christian McCaffrey was not in the top optimal on Daily Roto. It was actually the Devonta Freeman team that scored way more points than my team. But he was in the my team is the top Daily Roto optimal with Christian McCaffrey locked. So we were all pretty convinced Christian McCaffrey was like the worst play of the slate after like the first 2 drives, because you know who got the second carry of the game? Reggie Bonifon. You know who got the 3rd carry of the game? Curtis Samuel. Like, what? I was
a couple carries.
No, but I was just very convinced that this was going to be the galaxy brain game, where like this new coaching staff was just going to be like, oh yeah, we got to see if Bonifon's our guy, so we need to know if we got to draft another running back, and we got to I was pretty convinced that it was, and I think it was in the first half, like it was a little bit of a galaxy brain game, because they didn't go back to Christian McCaffrey on 2nd and goal, which like the old coaching staff always did. But yeah, I mean, he ended up like at 24, probably was bad to play him. It was a mentally weak, fear-based decision-making, Nate, and you can't convince me otherwise.
I mean, I don't know.
It was 100% mentally weak.
No, I think there was enough value to get to him. And even when I was fading him, I said, he's not a bad play. There weren't enough good reasons to fade him. It's just that he wasn't in like a smash spot. But the reality is, even with what did he get? Hit 12 targets. I mean, his expected workload just from passing is so high. I mean, he literally had 17.4 expected points solely from receptions. So, like, I don't know.
So if I can be the voice of a CMC fader here, he got, I think, 6 of those targets in the last 2 drives for the Panthers.
Strong. I mean, here's the thing. I was never on team fade CMC. I was always playing him because the way this works is there was value at running back, right? There was Bilal and, you know, people thought Kamara was underpriced and there was Laird and, you know, all those dudes, Freeman. But the truth is when we have all these 4 to 5K running backs, somebody's going to bust. One of them's going to bust. It almost always happens. And McCaffrey just has this insane floor to the point where, I played 0% of in tournaments because I don't think, like, he can really, like, 4 or 5X. But the reality is in cash games, when other people play guys who are going to bust and you just, like, knock off 25 or 30 with McCaffrey every week, all their other plays have to smash for them to get to where you're at. And I just don't think that, like in large field double ups and stuff like that, it's a worthwhile proposition to get rid of that floor.
Yeah. I would say this. I think I'm with you on that, Sammy. I think at the end of the day, even though he got it on those last 2 drives, that's part of why you play McCaffrey is because he can't get game scripted out versus Kamara or these other running
backs.
He can
get Kyle Allen out, though, where Kyle Allen is so incompetent that he's literally incapable of not getting sacked or throwing an interception. There are stretches of games where the Panthers just go 3 and out without completing passes. Like, we're, like, going 3 and out, like, without, like, moving the ball forward a yard because Kyle Allen is – I would rank him as one of the 5 worst quarterbacks I've watched in my lifetime.
But he's averaged 30 points per game this year with that. Like, I mean, the last, like, 3 games, Kyle Allen has done this exact same thing, and McCaffrey still has managed to put up 30-plus in 2 of them.
Didn't Allen cuck him for a 1-yard touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, right at the 4th quarter, the last play. Did either of you consider leaving swaptions open for DeAndre Washington? I did, but it left me not playing Hopkins and not playing Watson or not playing Michael Thomas. So I just was like, this is not worth it.
There was nowhere to go. There was like,
well, you had to play Fournette and then have a cheap wide receiver in the lake. So the thing that I had looked at was, I think it was Mike Williams, Jonnu Smith, Leonard Fournette that went into DeAndre Washington, Darren Waller, or some combination of like those late game guys. I don't remember the exact 3v3, but it didn't make sense
in the early games that it was really difficult. Like,
yeah,
it was just optimal to build around the early stuff.
I did consider it. And you guys,
you're actually a sick fish because you played a late game running back, and this is actually bona fide bad of you to not have prepared this swaption. Like, I thought you should have at least played like a late game quarterback or something.
No, that was a thing. Like, I could have potentially swapped off.
Oh yeah, you could have played Mahomes,
and I could have played Mahomes. That's right.
Oh, you are bad.
No, I'm not. I'm not bad. I was ahead. Am I bad?
Okay, no, I'm Maybe looking I'm at your team. I'm looking at your team right now. You are okay. First of all, everyone needs to know Sammy's a sick fish. He played Leonard Fournette over Alvin Kamara. We're gonna talk more about that in like a couple minutes. But I first need to explain why Sammy is a sick fish for not preparing this swap. So looking at your team,
I was prepared. I just didn't do it.
You needed to have Corey Davis or some other, probably Corey Davis, but you needed to have a cheap late game wide receiver over Paris Campbell because it's not like Paris Campbell was some slam dunk, like you had to lock that guy in.
Correct.
And then you needed to have the swap ready to go from Fournette to Washington and then up to you already had Edelman, so I guess it would have been Shark or something like that. Like you just should have because Washington was. Like he was going to get 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was going to get 15 points. So it doesn't matter if Shark was not optimal. He certainly was better than Paris Campbell.
Yeah. It would have been like Keenan Allen.
Yeah. So you got up to Mike Williams and they go from Carr to Mahomes.
Here's what I would say, Sammy. 95% of the field had no option to take the best running back value of the day. You did and chose to play Fatnett instead.
And Derek Carr.
Right. Just because I was doing good going into the afternoon. Like, I knew that's I was fair.
Did you, like, look at it, though? Like, I need to know you looked at it.
No, of course I looked at it.
Okay.
I think looking at it makes it worse. Like, I'd rather have Sammy fall asleep and didn't realize that Fatnett was like...
No, because I see what Sammy's saying. He was going to cash no matter what. Like, he was not going to be losing money.
I felt like the thing about Washington that I was actually wrong about is I thought that Rashard would eat into, like, his passing game work.
He actually has more targets than Rashard this year.
Yeah, I just thought they'd split that up. I wasn't like, oh, they'll use him as a true bell cow, whereas they do use Fournette as a true bell cow. So I just thought, hey, I'm ahead of the field right now.
Yeah, but you played Derek Carr when you could have had Mahomes.
I mean,
I'm like, I don't even know how many fantasy points he had. I just know that going into the game, Mahomes was projected for many more points.
No, for sure. I would have rather had Mahomes, but I just, you know, I'm going to stick with the running back I like the best, which is Fournette. And in that situation, I was prepared to swap. I just didn't think it was prudent at that point. You know, like, not that much of the field was playing Edelman. Not that much of the field was playing Fournette. And I'm like, dude, these guys are good plays. I feel good about my lineup. I'm not swapping.
I wish I would have gotten to Edelman and cash as well. Edelman was such a good play.
Well, so if we knew Washington was good to go,
I would have
played Washington over Kamara and we would have played Edelman.
Yeah. I would have, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about let's just get into the Kamara versus Fournette thing, because you guys were just like, I mean, you tweeted like you were just going to like windmill dunk me if.
I mean, Nate, here's the thing. They scored 46 points, dude. You ran purer than the sun itself to not have gotten dunked on by Alvin Kamara. I need you to know that this is truly one of the least excusable decisions ever made by someone on this show. This is about as bad as me playing Dede Westbrook again after he had given me 0 points like 2 weeks before.
You know what? You guys want me to take the L, but you know what? I'm not taking the L. It's not going to freaking
he's
happen.
He's pulling a Nemo Noling. He's just not taking it.
Dude, screw you guys. Like, this happens every week. Taysom Hill comes in and cucks him. Drew Brees jumps for a touchdown. Some tight end named Hill gets a touchdown. Like, everybody gets a touchdown with Kamara. They have so many options, and I'm like, you know what?
Yeah, but you played Leonard Fournette, who is not exactly a noted touchdown scorer, who is actually a noted fatter.
I mean, I'm not at all surprised that Fournette didn't score a touchdown.
So here's the thing. Alvin Kamara's team scored 46 points, and your main argument, if I can understand you correctly, was you felt more comfortable in the touchdown equity of one Mr. Leonard Fatnett, and also that he would receive more touches than Alvin Kamara. What actually happened? Kamara got 13 carries. Leonard Fournette got 15. Leonard Fournette was targeted 6 times. Alvin Kamara was targeted 6 times. Sir.
Okay, since
Kamara's come back, he's averaged like 25% target share and above 50% rushing attempt share. And in a game like this at home with Drew Brees as his quarterback, that just –
You don't understand the Taysom Hill theory, though. Sammy is unwilling to subject himself to the Taysom Hill troll.
Yeah, I'm out of that noise. I'm done with that smoke, bro.
Dude, I'll be honest. When he got the fourth and one carry, I was like, I might never play Alvin Kamara ever again. I may actually be done with. Or they ran a jet sweep. They ran a jet sweep with Taysom Hill.
Dude, of course they did. I mean, and here's the thing. Fournette ran bad because Jacksonville got blown out so hard that they actually took Fournette out pretty much the entire fourth quarter. He's a guy that normally
No one could have seen that coming. That's never happened.
He plays like 90% of the snaps. I wanted a guy who is on the field all the time, who gets all the goal line work,
you cannot say Fournette ran bad when Kamara literally – his team put up 100, like the game put up 100 points and Kamara didn't score a touchdown.
Not even, you know what? I'm not even going to argue the touchdown thing with him. I just would say in a game where that many points were scored and that many plays were ran. My dude got 70 K points.
You literally ran so hot, Sammy. You are hotter than the sun. Like to even tilt in Fournette is just.
Can I make a point to you, Sammy? I don't know if you had considered. Wasn't Reichwell Armstead? Wasn't he not active for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, and then he was active for this game?
I don't know, man. I don't worry about that noise. Fournette plays 90% of the snaps. He gets 90% of the work. Like, what are we arguing here? There's a bell cow, which is Fournette. There's a part-time player, which is Kamara. Cool story. Easy game.
This is Nate level, like, refusing to hold it.
Dude, I'm not taking the L. Screw you guys.
I'm mad that it didn't dunk.
Like, yeah, I'm really mad that it didn't dunk.
You guys are mad.
Him.
You know how mad I am when Fournette equaled Kamara's points halfway through the second quarter, and I'm just like, oh, these guys are going to get it. These guys are going to get smashed tonight. And then he didn't do squat the rest of the game.
And then, that no one could have predicted, the Jacksonville Jaguars got blown out.
Whatever. I hate you guys. Like,
I think the biggest shocker.
They scored 46 points, Sammy. If I tell you yesterday, I got Biff's Sports Almanac. The New Orleans Saints score 46 points at home against the San Francisco 49ers. Do you or do you not play Alvin Kamara?
Am I shocked when they're not goal line back? Doesn't score
I'm just you. The
no.
only the only information you get is that the score of the 49ers game is 48-46, and there's no defensive touchdown scored.
Yeah, bro. In your fantasy world where I can see the score but not who actually scored the points, sure, I'll take the guy who, like,
that's not fantasy world. That's math. That's the math of trying to project games out,
dude. So
Sammy,
stupid.
You literally faded Kamara at 7K.
Like, you're like swearing like Kamara is the Kamara that he's always been, and he's not.
Kamara now is just fancy Austin Eckler, which is still a good play at 7K.
Austin Eckler is so much better than Kamara.
I get fading Kamara when he's 8K.
That's not even a question. Like,
I get fading Kamara when he's 8K. He's literally 7K at home.
Oh, thank God he's not on the main slate next week.
I like my running backs to get like bell cow usage, Nate. That's what I like.
You faded 25% of targets. I think it was bad. I think it was real bad.
So
who'd you play wide receiver to make up for the? Because Fournette was like, what?
He played. He made a 2x egregious error in my humble professional opinion.
Oh yeah. Well. Now here's the point where I tell you that I played Paris Campbell in cash, and you guys laugh a little bit, but like you guys played Kenny Stills, so you can't like really like.
Dude, I posted a GIF to Twitter, which is just that me and Kenny Stills is Lucy in the football. Like I got all of him in best ball. I drafted him on all these high stakes teams. I played him that week where I had to swap off of him because I was so far behind in all my games.
You play him every week that Fuller is out, and he never does anything. It's like 5.3.
He did in 1 week. It was a showdown slate, so it didn't matter.
Right. Yeah. That's like Fournette scoring the 2 touchdowns on that Thursday night or whatever. Like. It just doesn't happen for Stills, you know? He's fine, but...
Here's the thing. It does. It just doesn't happen, like, when I need it.
It just doesn't happen for you. Yeah.
I mean, I didn't... So here's why the Paris Campbell play was stupid. He was coming back off of an injury and was going to play, like, 50% of the snaps. Here's why the Paris Campbell play is good. He is a lot better than Marcus Johnson is. And they were going to design some gadget stuff for him. Unfortunately, all he got was the gadget stuff. That was his only targets were on these very stupid scripted plays and then one third down, like, heave.
Yeah, and Marcus Johnson scored, like, a long touchdown immediately.
You knew you weren't happy? Yeah.
No, I knew I was screwed then because at first I don't know Paris Campbell's freaking number. I was like, oh, that's got to be Paris Campbell. It's lit.
Marcus Johnson is, like, 5 inches taller than Paris Campbell.
Yeah, no, I figured that out, like, in the second quarter. I mean, Paris Campbell was a fish play. What can I say? I'll take the L on that. Like,
you know who played Paris Campbell?
Was it Dink?
My dumb fish who also played Sam Darnold. was all over the Paris Campbell play.
Strong. Very strong. You know, good matchup, man, against Tampa Bay. Good matchup.
Was it? Oh, yeah, they have a terrible pass defense.
Yeah, I mean, if I had told you, like, in the future that you know, they would score 38 points, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take that 3.2K receiver.
Probably not. Probably not exactly how that works. I mean, anyways, we didn't even have a bad projection for Paris Campbell. It wasn't like he was some egregious play.
No, I mean, he was just 3.2, and he let me get everything. I mean, I punted quarterback with Carr. I punted with Bilal. I punted with Ian Thomas. I punted with the Bucs defense so I could get, like, Fournette, Thomas, Edelman, McCaffrey. You know, that was what I was trying to do.
So why did you not view Hopkins as much of a must as Nate and I?
Just because I thought Edelman was close to as good. I thought Hopkins was certainly an amazing play. But
it was just very important to get to Fournette.
Yeah, I had to get Fournette. And honestly, like, I had to get that bell cow running back, bro. I had to get that usage. But no, I thought that Edelman was a great play. I mean, this was supposed to be the highest paced game of the year, that KC and New England game. And I thought that Edelman's getting.
Turns out it's very hard to be a fast paced game when the New England Patriots are just, in fact, not a good professional football team.
I mean, if the Patriots had a good quarterback, Edelman would have gone for, like, 38.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if the Patriots had, like Brian Hoyer.
Easy game.
I think he could have smashed.
Ryan Tannehill? Bro, he's hitting.
Kyle four. Allen,
yeah.
Maybe?
Oh, yeah. We're trolling the Pats fans now. Sorry, guys.
I think Davis is lower on Edelman than he should be. I think
it had to be said. But if somebody who could throw, like, faster than 68 miles an hour was at quarterback, that last play would have been a touchdown.
Dude, so here's the thing. I like Edelman just fine. I like him as much as our projections like him. We had Julian Edelman projected for our fourth highest amount of fantasy points at the wide receiver position, and that was 4 points worse than we had DeAndre Hopkins for. There was just not a chance that I was going to be playing Edelman over Hopkins. And to me, Michael Thomas was a lock, despite the fact that we actually had Hopkins projected for more points than Michael Thomas.
Yeah, oof. I mean, that I do think that was maybe a little fish. I mean, I thought Edelman was a great play, but I don't think
Hopkins without Fuller is like...
Yeah, I don't think
that's as good as it gets.
I don't think I considered that quite as hard as I should have. Like,
I mean, his target share without Fuller has been, like, above 30%, like, easy. It's, like, 34% or something. I can't remember what I had.
It is 34.5%.
Yeah, I'm pretty stupid.
We even had that a shade low. We had it at 33.3%.
Yeah, I had him below 33 today, and he's still. What's okay? Cheeky mistake. That's why I had stills.
It's not a mistake. Like, he had been inactive. He had been benched, dude. It's not a mistake. It's just something they changed in game. Yeah, it's not
I
a
had
mistake.
Stills projected for like a 17% target share, and Cheeky was down at like single digit, and instead Kiki.
Were you projecting Steven Mitchell for targets?
No. I don't know. I could have had him in there.
Well, that was bad, but he was inactive today. But he had been on the team and been getting targets. I'm actually curious while we're here, what do you have Michael Thomas for catch rate? What do you actually project him for?
98%.
I mean, we have him as by far – we have him as by far the highest guy in catch rate, and we are still like not as high as Cardi.
It's different,
which is why. It's why Cardi always has Thomas projected for more points than us.
I had him projected today for a 79% catch rate. 79.
So we had him for 76.
Yeah,
and that's high. That's the highest anyone's been against the 49ers all year for us.
Yeah. For me, yeah, at 79% catch rate at an 8.4 ADOT is really high, but it's what Thomas is.
Can we just talk about how bad the people are who didn't play Thomas instead of how?
I mean, not playing Michael Thomas at 8,300 is really, I would say, it's probably the worst decision that you could have made this year. Of the 14 slates of DFS, not playing him today would have been the worst decision you could have made relative to the field.
I think Michael Thomas is the highest floor just player on a week-to-week basis. I mean, he's literally, even when he was up at 9K, I would have played him over CMC back then. I was playing him over CMC. And I think the fact that people didn't play him because of matchup is just insane to me. The fact that people think of Davante Adams is even in the same.
Oh, anyone who played Adams over Hopkins or Watson, you can feel free to send me invites. My name on DraftKings.com is Davis Matic.
All those people are broke. They have no account funds left. So
I would 5 points of equity there.
They got crowns left, Sammy.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that you need to understand is that Michael Thomas didn't have a tough matchup. The San Francisco 49ers had a tough
matchup. Tough matchup to cover him.
Right. Like that's the way it is. So
the thing is, it doesn't like those, you cannot cover those slants that he does. Like he's going to get,
dude, you know, what's even more intense is it's not the slants obviously are uncoverable, but it's the little button hook that he runs, dude. Mm-hmm. Like that play, I don't think I've ever seen that play go for an incompletion ever.
No. It's like ever that old Eric Decker. It's like the old Decker play.
No, we can't even talk about the Decker play, dude. I'll get too excited. People used to fade Eric Decker
open on his computer, and like three of them are P-Hub and one is the GIF of Eric Decker's route.
Dude, people don't even, like, probably some people, they don't even know about this play that that Eric Decker used to run, and he ran it on every team that he played for, and
it was consistent red zone target. I mean, yeah, he was,
I mean, best. he ran it with the Jets, and he ran it. He scored, Broncos, dude, this is so crazy. He scored 12 touchdowns that year with the Jets, his age 28 season, when Ryan Fitzpatrick and Geno Smith were the quarterbacks. And all of those touchdowns were on that pre-snap motion. And he comes in and he's right behind, who's the other wide receiver? Brandon Marshall. So he's right behind Marshall, and the tight end is right there, and he just rubs right in, and he just turns around and he just catches it was unstoppable, dude. I don't think that play ever failed.
I wish you guys could see the video of Davis right now in his like wife beater, like it's not a wife beater,
dude.
Like
I don't wear wife beaters.
It's like a white t-shirt with like this collar that they make fun of on commercials, and he's like kind of like moving around and gestating like he's Eric Decker. It's really something.
Yeah, you got very excited there.
Really something,
dude. Those were some of my best years of DFS because no one would play him. Decker would come in every week, and he would be like 18%, and he'd just he'd score a touchdown and have
Nate,
5 points.
Nate wasn't playing him because he didn't pop in the model. But
oh, no. his whopper wasn't high
Decker
enough.
Was, you know, the model play. Decker was like the most consistent wide receiver, and it was just every week I played Decker.
Oh, well.
He really was. And he would be – because he was like 5,600 every week.
It's kind of back when you understood that the DFS was more of an art.
It's Nate. More of an art. It's really more of an art.
Yeah. You got to watch the film.
So yeah, if you didn't play Hopkins or Thomas, you're a dumb sick fish. Yeah, Ian Thomas. I didn't really think about anyone else.
I did.
Nate, I wish
you'd have faded.
Nate was worried that Chris Manhertz, who's been in the NFL since 2014 and has 10 career targets, was going to work into Ian Thomas's snap share a little bit.
Yeah, well, because, his note, like his Roto World Note or whatever, said, oh, they're going to use a committee approach, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, the coach mentioned Alex Arma, the fullback, who I believe did not record a touch today.
He didn't. Yeah, he didn't.
So, I don't know. Like, were you guys at all concerned about this? I think I know the answer.
I was. Davis was not. I definitely was, and I thought it lowered his floor quite a bit. I think I originally had just projected him for similar to Greg Olsen usage. But after that, I was like, oh, dang, they're not committed to this guy at all. And I thought it changed his – not like his median outcome, but his floor outcome. And I think too many people go like, well, this Alex Arma sucks or whoever this Chris – he sucks. But the reality is we've learned that coaching is not like rational, and I do not assume rational coaching when it comes to things like that.
So what, you just assume that Manhertz was going to find the first coach ever that believed in him as a wide receiver, including his college coach?
As a tight end, though, even if you take 10 snaps away from him, a couple routes like that, these are already like lower usage guys like that. Stuff like that is a huge floor. I don't know. I ended up playing him just because of the price. 2.5, I thought, even though I thought his floor was very low from like a raw total standpoint, from a per dollar standpoint, I didn't think his floor could have been that. I wanted Kittle, though. I really wanted Kittle.
I get it. I wasn't worried about all that noise because I've seen how they did this in the past when Olsen has missed games. last week when Olsen got hurt. Ian Thomas came in, he got, you know, whatever, like four targets and, you know, like half the game. And it was just like, okay, like that's, he's their pass catching guy. I wasn't worried about it at all. When they say, oh, these, we're going to have a rotation. It's like, yeah, sometimes they'll have goal line where they have multiple tight ends. Sometimes they'll run 11 personnel. But the reality is that Thomas is going to be out there most of the time and he's going to be their main pass catcher. And I wasn't worried about it at all.
I was not worried. I think we had him projected for a pretty healthy target share at dailyroto.com. I think we had him for a 15% target share. I thought that was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I do agree, Nate, that he's got a pretty low floor because tight ends just do in general. I'm just way more likely to take that floor at 2,500 than I am at 4,600 or $4,000. Yeah. People were playing Griffin and Jack Doyle and stuff like that.
Dude,
like,
if you played Ryan Griffin, my name on DraftKings, Davis Matic, send me an invite anytime.
Yeah, dude, like the case in tournaments, like I played some Kittle in tournaments.
I played a bunch of Kittle and Waller and Kelsey. I thought it was way better there. Like I like stone faded Bilal Powell in tournaments. I nuked him entirely from my run.
Just went Patrick Laird for the
yeah,
brand.
Yeah, 100% Patrick 100% Laird. Bro, Laird outscored Fournette. Laird outscored Kamara. Laird outscored Powell.
Yeah, I think for tight end, I was looking to try to get up to Kittle or even Fant at 3-4. I thought had a just much better floor. But I think at 2-5, it was just – I ended up there. But I think Kittle was fine. Like, I think if you ended up going in the mid-range, though, that was probably a mistake.
Yeah, of course it is. Of course it is because those guys have super low floors, just the same. They just cost
you're
a bunch.
Paying extra $1,000.
Yeah, like
so Noah Fant's a baller.
He is a baller.
And I think
I played him in FanDuel like, cash because his price was great on FanDuel. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what did he get?
We had a very sick Noah Fant projection. We had him projected for like more fantasy points than a lot of guys that people played, and I limited my like so. Something optimizers will give you a lot that you would never hand make is tight end in the flex. And I just unchecked that option in the Daily Roto optimizer. And that was big time bad because the like Fant Thomas lineups had a lot of very good and high scoring players in them.
That was mentally weak, Davis. Nate would have done no such thing.
Nate doesn't even see positions, dude. He just sees points.
Trust the math.
Yeah. Trust the math.
Trust the math. Find your outcomes.
So we all played a terrible defense. Well, actually, I don't know what Sammy played, but
the Bucks.
Yes. Okay. We all played a terrible defense.
And I'll say this: if I had $100 more, I would have
ended up with Indianapolis.
I would have played the Colts. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I mean, have. I probably would have just played the Bucks because they were at home.
No, the team that plays Jameis is
yeah. The team that plays Jameis, it doesn't matter. You could be playing on the mood with guys.
I probably would have played Arizona going up against Duck.
Nah, I tweeted this earlier, but like we're all pretty stupid for not just realizing that we should just stack Jameis and the opposing defense, the correlation, and just like print GPPs.
Jameis balled.
Oh yeah,
he helped out my tournament teams quite a bit.
He was, I mean, him and Breeze were like my only two tournament quarterbacks. I had a very thin field this week. I didn't like any of the quarterbacks this week, frankly.
Jameis did it too without Mike Evans. That was the bad thing. Is most of my Jameis teams had Evans. So
same. That's why I'm only like kind of rich instead of completely rich.
Yeah, not so rich, but yeah, Jameis is a baller, and too many people don't get it. I don't know.
How mad are you going to be when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not re-sign him and he's like a backup quarterback somewhere next year?
Somebody will sign him.
Nate's going to retire. That's the day that Nate hangs up his DFS.
The Cincinnati Bengals sign him to be a one-year bridge for Joe Burrow.
I would take Jameis Winston over Trubisky 10 times out of 10. I mean, that would be
– Well, dude, I'm pretty sure that Trubisky is the next quarterback for the St. Louis Battlehawks of the XFL, so I don't think you got to worry about that.
Can you imagine what Jameis Winston would do to Allen Robinson?
Can you imagine what
wide receiver next year?
Your favorite football team losing to Mitch Trubisky in primetime felt like?
It was glorious. I mean, it was I loved it.
Do you want the Bears to win right now? You can't possibly want that. What good is them winning games doing right now?
I mean, at the end of the day, I don't trust that front office enough to think even if losing.
Exactly. So you want the front office to get fired. You want it all gone.
Yeah. I mean, Pace trading up to get Trubisky.
Pace spent one of his very limited draft picks on Kareth White, who was Devin Singletary's backup at FAU, and then cut him, and now he's getting carries for the Steelers.
Oh, I love that guy. That guy's great. Hey, are you ready to admit, do you have an apology to make for Mike Tomlin and his coaching acumen?
Me?
Yeah. He might win Coach of the Year.
Why am I? No.
Don't think I'm Davis an L. I'm not taking an L.
You think I'm taking an L because this Steelers team is 8-5?
Running so hot.
Let's take a little stroll down the Steelers Pro Football Reference, and let's just see some of these games that they have quote. I'm gonna put one in quotes because I think some have just been a concession. They beat the Arizona Cardinals, who I'll give you this, he might be a better coach than Cliff Kingsbury. So there's that.
Yeah, Tomlin's not a coward. That's why.
The Cleveland Browns don't even think they really count right now. Pretty sure the Bears are better than them. The Cincinnati Bengals, they're not trying. Lost to the Browns. Big win over the Los Angeles Rams when the Rams were going through their depressing period where Jared Goff did not throw a touchdown during the month of November. The Indianapolis Colts and that Miami Dolphins game where we were sweating every second of it.
Oh,
in our Survivor.
God, that Monday night game. Yeah. Yeah, we were sweating that hard. We almost beat Baltimore. We almost beat Lamar Jackson.
I guess the best compliment I could give to them right now is at least they're not playing Mason Rudolph anymore.
God, I mean, I feel so confident now that Mason Rudolph's not playing.
Mason Rudolph worse than Kyle Allen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not even close. Like Mason Rudolph is going to be Mitch Trubisky's backup for the Argonauts or whoever.
No, dude, the new bit on Fantasy Football Podcast now is you got to reference XFL teams when you're talking about the St. Louis Battlehawks. You work with that. I want to talk about some of the prices for next week. Gurley coming off of like a full workhorse game, $6K against Dallas.
Don't do it.
Why not?
Well, if you remember last time after he faced Seattle with the full workhorse game, he just didn't play the next game. He just took out the game off against the 49ers.
That thing feels so trappy. Coming off a primetime game where we see him all this work, like, I don't know.
Playing a lot of snaps.
Oh, well, you know the trap that I'm going to fall into? Chris Carson, now that his backup Rashad Penny is out for the rest of the year, $7,500 against Carolina.
I'm probably going to fall for that too.
Yeah, it's just don't know. How do you even not? How do you have the strength?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm falling for that. Dude, ProSize wasn't on the field. Like, even tonight when they were running their two-minute drill. I mean, ProSize got some snaps, but it was mostly Carson.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley is $7,700 at home to the Miami Football Dolphins.
That actually might be the first time I play Saquon in a long time.
So it's going to be thin there. Saquon is the worst, and the Dolphins are somehow worse.
Hey, you guys, Fournette's playing Oakland.
He's at a reasonable salary, $7,600.
Yeah, I mean, he was $7,800 this week.
The Carson Fournette, like, that's we're going to be playing one of those two.
No Michael Thomas on this slate. Chris Godwin with no Mike Evans is $7,700.
Okay, so that's a lockopotamus.
I mean, we're locking all the expensive players. We're running out of salary here.
It's frick. They priced Jameis up. I was gonna say it's Jameis Godwin. Now that you
Stills is somehow more expensive than he was this last week.
Dude, everybody is gonna go Jameis to Godwin and bring it back with Galladay, and that's
no. Like every we all said that. We all said that 2 weeks ago that everyone's going to play Jameis, and no one did.
Yeah, people hate Jameis. I'm going to make a lineup with that right now and just, like, throw it in the millie.
Jimmy G, $6,100 at home to Atlanta.
Oh yeah, God.
I like that.
What about this Drew Locke fella? Just kid has a cannon.
I don't know. I didn't watch any of that game.
Dude,
honestly.
I watched him. I watched him in college, so I'm being a little bit disingenuous, like acting like I don't know who he is. He's actually got the Jameis Winston syndrome, where when he's playing from ahead, he plays very optimal football and doesn't take like a lot of unnecessary risks. But if his team is down 10 points, he's just like, oh, triple covered, don't care, let's get it. So like he had his passer rating in college when his team was like down 10 or more points was like 46 or something. Like he was just horrible. So I don't know. He's got that going for him. He is 5,700 at Kansas City. The Kansas City backfield, who do you think played the most snaps out of Spencer Ware, Darwin Thompson, and LeSean McCoy?
I watched a little. Maybe might have been Ware. I mean,
Darwin?
Ware played 28, McCoy played 22, Darwin played 18.
Yeah, it looked like it was Ware.
Ware is 3,100. He had 5 carries and 2 targets. Darwin is 4,100. He had 4 carries and 5 targets. Super egregious drop mixed in there. LeSean McCoy, 11 carries and 3 targets.
Yeah, the moral of the story is you can't play any of them.
I don't know, man. I'll probably play some of them in GPP. What if McCoy gets benched for load management again?
Then you know, we all play wearing cash situation. and then we pivot to Darwin and GPPs and we don't win anything.
That's so usually. If it sounds like Jacobs might just be done for the year. He was the way Rap Sheet reported it was that he had a shoulder injury and he was going to get an MRI after the game, but it's unclear because he's had this shoulder injury since the Packers game. So I don't know why I don't know if it got worse or like what happened or if he just decided that like the pain management was too much. But DeAndre Washington is 4,700 at home to the Jacksonville Jaguars. That would be the lockopotamus.
Yeah, I mean, if he's the starter, of course. I mean, I was really impressed by the work that he got in the passing game.
He was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Well, he played –
seven targets.
Well, there were people in the Daily Roto Slack chat, like, asking about him, like, if he could catch passes. I was like, dude, he went to Texas Tech. He caught 130 passes in 4 seasons.
No,
but
for
Davis,
sure.
When you can play Fournette at 7,800 instead of a 3K Washington, you got to do it.
Well, Sammy was really dedicated to playing Derek Carr. He really, because what you don't understand is that with Jacobs out, they were going to pass more near the goal line.
fade Mahomes, fade Washington. Got to keep Fournette and Carr.
I'm surprised with that game script. Nate didn't just jam Waller in cash again.
No, he wanted to. You know he wanted to.
No, Kittle
you know.
Was who I wanted.
Because Kittle was cheaper. Yeah, Kittle was pretty cheap, I guess.
I wanted Kittle real bad.
Waller is 5,500 next week at home to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't know. Anyone have any other big observations?
Guys, this was a bad show.
No, this show is terrible.
No, we did good. We found a way to make it interesting.
I don't actually think that's true, but just want to apologize to everybody. It sucks when we all win and you know, I wish Nate had faded Ian Thomas and it didn't happen. And, you know,
his swap was better. Higher. Yeah.
My swap team literally would have crushed your soul. I would have been.
Oh, dude, I don't give a damn about all that. I still would have dunked on you because it was just stupid.
It's kind of stupid, playing Fat Net for 800 more DraftKings dollars than Alvin Kamara.
The fact that none of us played Devonta feels bad. He was like.
Dustin Freeman.
At 5'4" with the workload that he was supposed to
get. Dude, I don't care the math. I'm not playing that guy.
That seems bad.
And that's that.
Well, you know, it's more of an art, Davis. You just
Nate, it's really more of an art, except for that we had the exact same team this week, which is pretty frustrating. So that's probably going to do it for us here at the Gilcast. Make sure to check out dailyroto.com. Thanks for listening to us on the Roto Grinders podcast, and we'll be back next week.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.